a list of movies that are better than this, the Marvels.
Oh, shit!
I had more fun at the Marvels and Madam Web than Supergirl.
Oh, shit!
Nerderotic.com.
Chris, man, you shook it up. You and Alan shook it up with your Out of the Theater review, which is being written about in articles now. Very good performing video for you.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think of Supergirl.
It's worse than even you can believe. In not only that, Millie Alcock, I believe, is really just miscast. She should not have been cast in this role. They could have cast someone, and I know it's cliche, Sydney Sweeney might have been better. And the dark storyline of Kara, which really, when you start to really dig into it, makes absolutely no sense. It makes there are lapses in logic that when you really begin to think about it, I'm seeing it a second time tonight just to confirm, like, oh, it's all that bad. Yeah, it's everything from, I'll go just a quick checklist, so a capsule opinion here.
Sure.
The dark nature of it. It's as if the movie did not use fill lights, which is a light to light your face so I can see your face.
Yeah.
Everything is in darkness. Every starship scene on a starship, every scene on a planet, every planet looks the same. There aren't distinct looks to the planets. I couldn't tell you their names. They're completely forgettable. Again, forgettable villain. Who cares about him? He poisons Crypto. That's the story at the beginning. This character, Ruthie, whose parents are summarily executed, is boring.
They killed her innocent parents. Did that line make it in the movie?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so dumb. And she takes her family sword now to kill the villain whose name escapes me because he's not memorable. And what's awful about her is it's, people are comparing it to Mad Max, and you think, wow, is there some big car chase scene? I mean, part of one, but really there are child brides in this thing. It's like the villains are a bunch of outsiders that have captured underage child brides. And I don't know, maybe there's
secretly a based storyline in there.
That's what I thought. Maybe there is kind of a secretly a based, like, hey, you know, you should get your sword and fight back against someone trying to marry you at 11 years old. But yeah, that's the main thing. And then Supergirl, Kara, just, she's so she's depressed, just wants to get drunk, doesn't care about anyone, including Ruthie, but herself and her dog. And that's it. And she just does not embody the virtues of a hero. And only at the end, when she puts the costume on, it's like putting on the costume doesn't make you a hero. Captain America, Steve Rogers, was Captain America before he got the muscles.
Yeah.
Right? Before he had the muscles, he had the heart. And that was noticed by Tommy Lee Jones' character in First Avenger. Like a heart of a hero. She never has a heart turn. It's like these guys took, as it's only when it becomes personal to her that now she's trying to get the antidote for her dog.
So let's rewind a little bit.
Yeah,
you just said she puts on her costume at the end.
Yeah, but the last third or less.
So the whole beginning of the movie, is she in her trench coat or in
trench coat, street clothes, whatever ravagers or scavengers wear. They wear that stuff. And you see her in a space suit when they keep flashing back to her story and with Clark, right?
Yep.
And to be honest, the highlight of the movie, every time he's on screen. David Corn-Sweat is very likable in spite of James Gunn's terrible script for Superman.
How much is Lobo in it?
It's like 10 minutes. But they added a scene. I saw the movie with someone who saw the
test screening,
the earlier cuts. They added a scene with Lobo suddenly turns up in prison, in a prison where Ruthie is. And for no reason, that scene was added.
Okay.
But he's in it all of 10 minutes.
Okay. He's all over that marketing.
So is Superman, who's also in it for all of 10 minutes. I mean, you saw one of the scenes already where Kara crash lands. I mean, the nitpick things that bug me are everything to do with Krypton and how that's handled. So,
well, do you want to tell what they double down on?
Oh, God. Okay. So yeah. We see Krypton going through a destruction, but they create this sphere that preserves a city part, like a city of Krypton is preserved where Kara lives with her parents. But the rest of the planet somehow is destroyed. And there's a line where David Krumholtz plays Kara's father, is it Zar-El, I think is the name. And he says, your crazy uncle sent his son to conquer Earth, and I'm going to send you to Earth. If he can send Kara to Earth, why can't, if she hops around the galaxy to three different planets in this movie, can't everyone from Krypton just relocate to Earth and colonize? I don't get this. Like, if it's so easy to travel in space, what is the big deal? If her father can send her to Earth, why can't they all go to Earth or go to Earth as a family? Never explained. So she gets in that starship in that stupid outfit that looks out of a gay French perfume ad. You know, she's in that, like, that, you know, that Clark finds her in. She gets in that with her dog, holding it like this, no control. She's just sent there. Like, there's no explanation for any of this, but the throwaway line doubles down on that Jor-El wanted, you know, Kal-El to conquer Earth. Double down, not a misinterpretation, not a, and then this other thing, how can, like, she lands with Clark. How does she learn English? What was the plan? How does she, you know, assimilate to Earth? She doesn't want to assimilate. There's just so many things. And maybe this even goes back to Kara's origin anyways in the comics. I know there have been different versions, but it's just dumb. There's just Superman. There's not a horse. I don't care about a dog. This the last son of Krypton was Kal-El, came to Earth. All that other stuff is, for me, kind of bullshit. That was all done in the 50s. The super family with, is there a reindeer Kryptonian? I don't know. I always thought that shit was dumb. Sorry, folks that like the Silver Age stuff.
That's the problem with James Gunn's DCU is he wants to get to places without establishing a foundation, right? And he's mixing it all up because he's throwing in Morrison shit with Silver Age shit. And it's just like, oh, I'm going to do what I feel like looks neat and cool and not really give it a foundation of anything. You can go those places once you set the foundation, but your foundation is fucked now because Jor-El sent his son to conquer Earth and start a harem again based, but that's not what happens in the comics.
And the thing is, Jor-El,
that's not the story of Superman.
Jor-El in the Superman films, I'm thinking Man of Steel and the Richard Donner original, is such a great father figure. That to kill this father figure, this symbol, that he has these virtues to live up to. This is why I know you don't need to. I don't need to Google this. I don't need to ask Grok. James Gunn does not have kids. And he clearly doesn't have a son. Anyone who has kids, you feel a responsibility to the best of your ability as a father to live virtues that they can observe and bring into their lives. They'll never be exactly what you want them to be, but you want them to, you know, learn good morals and values. And I mean, I was so mixed on Superman, which this Superman is a much better movie than Supergirl. But, and I was like, okay, the first movie's mixed. I'll give him a pass, whatever. He's establishing the universe. It's a lot in one film. Then I saw the first episode of Peacemaker season 2, which I was told to watch by Gunn. And that's when I said, I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't like this vision. I don't like how he's thrown away everything except his friends that he likes. And I kind of feel like Gunn is not so much a collaborator of a when it comes to making things. He only hires people who are his friends or will do exactly what he tells them to do. That's it. He's not, whereas when you look at other creators on film and whatnot, it's more of a collaboration as a storyteller, director to actors that are trusted. And Craig Gillespie, I don't know. There's some footage I have from the red carpet with Gunn and like that, them on the red carpet. I can bring it up and show you. And you see the look on Gunn's face and he's not smiling. He's like doing the red carpet out of obligation. Clearly he knows. And I'll say this, Gunn's reputation has been good. He's never really been attached to a bad movie. He is now attached to a bad movie. This is, objectively speaking, a bad film for a number of reasons. I'm pointing out the things that bother me. There are going to be different things that bother you, Gary.
Uh-huh.
And people will, but the fact that the shills are trying to explain, and all of them, because they don't want to get shit for criticizing Millie Alcock. She's not good in this movie. She is not good in this movie. And a lot of it has to do with how they chose this character. This girl boss is an archetype now that is boring because it's always the same. There is no Kara. There is generic female girl boss character. Same in every movie. Same in every movie. Always does this. You see the identities of the characters. You know who's good. You know who's bad. White guys, bad. Any people of color, they are good. There's a lot of people of color in this movie. They're always the good ones. Always. Never not. It's so clear delineation. Whether they're also painted, there are these girls that try to take over a bus. I think part of that scene was shown. They've shown, like, you've seen every action scene. You've seen it. I mean, you've seen a smaller version of it, but there will be no surprises in this movie, except maybe the Krypton stuff, which is in flashback to show her pain.
Pain that justifies her being a insufferable biatch.
Correct.
Great. Great. And it's fine because she has been victimized. And I don't know what they did to Jor-El. You know, it's just typical Hollywood. They just hate fathers.
Yeah. And it's this other thing of, if you were, say, Kara, you know, Krypton's destroyed. Your cousin shot away to another planet. Your father builds this thing to save you. Wouldn't you feel some obligation to go, I'm going to live up to the, like, I'm a survivor of Krypton. I'm going to live up to some ideals. My father had all these resources and sent me, and they stayed in that dome for a while, it appears. They don't tell you exactly the amount of time that passed.
Bottle City of Kandor.
The Bottle City, right? So they spend time. It's not very good, by the way. It's everything. The production design of this film is Sci-Fi Channel circa 90s.
Oof.
You know, it's apocalypse. All the planets are like Mad Max planets with bars and ravagers or scavengers, whatever you want to call them. I mean, it wants to be Guardians. It's doesn't even get close to the worst moments of a Guardians movie. It's Guardians in trench coat only. The levels of bad, and the box office will reflect it. Okay, from Variety, Millie Alcock poses with James Gunn, Craig Gillespie, and Peter Safran at the Supergirl world premiere. Let me just look at Gunn's face.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Am I wrong? Is it? Am I wrong? Is it? There, none of them are smiling. To be clear, even her.
He's like, yeah, I got one more.
Creepy.
I got one more movie in me. And I'm
gone. Yeah, it's really one more movie. And what do we have in store for? I got some of the queer clips and other stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't look happy.
Yeah, yeah.
David Ellison came out recently and said, he's our guy. Yeah.
Well, here, look at this. I'm assembling a team.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
no. The AOC one in the bottom too.
I don't care.
This is the team that's going to save me from Gary's basement.
There you go. Well, they never learn.
They never leer.
They never leer, Chris.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm only pointing out the parts that stood out to me. I'm definitely seeing it again. When I was at the screening, I sat next to Alan, I leaned over to him and said, this is terrible. This is like, it's the middle of the movie. There's no momentum.
It's short, right? It's pretty short. Is it under 2 hours?
Under 2 hours.
Thank Jesus. Thank little baby Jesus. It's under 2 hours. Oh my God.
And I know you're seeing it tonight. You might want to go live. Tonight. You might want to go live after tonight, Carrie, because I think you're going to have thoughts.
I might have some thoughts.
I mean, I can't see Gunn.
I might let X-ray girl out of the basement and she can go with me because none of my family want to go.
Torture, right?
my son's all hell no, I'm not going. dude.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm surprised about any of this at all. Look at this. Toy Story 5 with a near 90 million second frame will have more friends than Supergirl at weekend box office. Oh, no. I mean, this is kind of bad within itself based on what I've seen of Toy Story 5. I know Alan loves it, but
I did not love it, but whatever.
There's a snake in Supergirl's boot, and it's the second weekend of Disney Pixar Toy Story 5. Many of us have speculated, by the way, that Supergirl could be number two at the box office, and it's looking like that's the case. The $170 million DC Studios feature, the second production under the James Gunn and Peter Safran run Warner Brothers comic book division last summer's Superman, $125 million domestic opening, is expected to open within the upper 40 millions. So that's down at 3,600 theaters stateside pre-sales, though tracking has it of late in the 50 million plus vicinity. So it might hit 50 million.
Well, it's also 1,000 fewer theaters than Superman.
Yes. Wow. And that's also 6 million below the opening of The Flash domestically. And as our good friend Ryan pointed out, recently, a lot of the management at Warner Brothers was given multi-year extensions. Peter Safran and James Gunn were given multi-month extensions.
Oof.
Through Man of Tomorrow. That start would be around such previous regime DC green lights as 2023's The Flash, not 56, which was tormented by tabloid reports. No, it was tormented by two Ezra Millers. Stop it. Though above such lackluster titles as Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom, and Shazam, Fury of the Gods, overseas estimates for a Craig Gillespie-directed feature take of Tom King and, I can't pronounce that name, graphic novel Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, which I heard it's nothing like, are the low 40 millions. So if you remember, Superman did really well in the States and did not do very well internationally. We hear from sources the pick is opening everywhere from Belgium to France. Hence, the global opening range is between 80 and 90 million. Previews in North America start at 3 p.m. Thursday. No critical Rotten Tomatoes score yet. Yes, we have one now. Toy Story 5, meanwhile, passed $200 million at the domestic box office on Tuesday. The Andrew Stanton directed Fifth Quill.
Oh, that's funny.
Grandmotherfucking Fifth Quills.
They like
Hollywood's dying. They're like, what's wrong? We're at fucking Fifth Quills. That's a video for another day. Fifth Quill is eyeing a second frame in North America between 88 and 96 million. I wouldn't be surprised if it hit that 96. 40% to 45% drop after posting the best domestic opening of the year, the best Monday year to date with 17.3 million and a massive 23.7 million Tuesday, Dollar Tuesday, or Discount Tuesday, I should say. It used to be Dollar Tuesday, Chris. You know, back in my day, remember Dollar Tuesday and $2 Tuesday? Disney Pixar 2024 Summer Smash Inside Out 2 went on to post the best second weekend for any animated film with 101.2 million, 34% drop after opening. That's really good. So, Supergirl's toast.
Yes.
It's toast. I mean, there's a Jackass movie coming out, like the 50th Jackass movie.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. I don't care. I'm gonna go.
They're gonna be in an old folks home doing like little stunts.
They kind of made fun of that, them being old in
yeah.
the last movie or the movie before
you. And they're older now.
Hey, those movies are cheap. They're like $10 million budget. They make like 40 or 50. That, like, why would you not make one?
So the fan screenings, that's why I made my video. So I bought a fan screening ticket for San Antonio. I'm like, oh shit, I'm not going to be here. So I'm like, damn, I wonder if I'm going to be able to get one. So I checked in my local area and the theater was empty for the fan screening.
That's so in your area, it's just empty.
It is fucking empty. There is, I think, three other people going.
To pick a good middle seat?
Well, I mean, like, I am kind of in the middle of nowhere, but to be fair. But then I checked my IMAX in San Antonio, and I checked Burbank, of course. Burbank, except for those front rows, is all sold out.
Yeah.
But then my IMAX, which was sold out for Flash months in advance, still had plenty of seats. So I put all the, in my video, I put, just anecdotal, but I try to go across the country and just check theaters for the fan screenings, and are all empty. They're all empty. Yeah. So I was like, oh, whoa, this thing's really dead. This thing's really dead. If the fan screenings, you know, you had to go through it. Was it? No, that was with Spider-Man. Yeah,
that was with Spider-Man. These are announced.
These are just available on Fandango or wherever you go. You can go, and there's multiple screenings. There's one at 10. There's one at 7 and one at 10.
Yeah. So there's a good chance that Millie Alcock will show up to Burbank.
Chris, I'm holding out because remember with Madam Web, we had a 6-day opening weekend. I am holding out for the 7-day opening weekend. Once we get there, we have achieved singularity. When we get the 7-day opening weekend, I think this could do Marvel's money.
Oh, below at this point. I think below.
What, Marvel's was at least number one at its opening weekend.
This will not be.
Yeah.
We already saw, man, that look on Gunn's face, and I've seen stills.
That was grim.
He's not smiling. He's there on an obligation. I'm sure taking time away from shooting in Atlanta, a movie he knows is going to be kind of a dead world.
Yeah.
Well, a dead universe.
The DCU is taking shape, and we're finding out that shape is poop. It's a giant piece of poop. It's nothing. There's no substance to it. There's no foundation. He's cooked, dude. He's done.
NerdErotic.com. Please subscribe.